Thank you for tuning in to the sermon webcast of Living Savior. We are one church serving in two locations, Asheville and Hendersonville, North Carolina. For more information, go to lsavior.org.
It was back in late 1989 or early 1990 when the committee members that put together Christian Worship, the hymnal that you have in your pew, were trying to make a decision about what hymns they were going to put into the new book. I was a member of that committee, but that's 30 years ago, and I don't remember everything that took place at that committee. But studying this sermon made me remember a conversation that took place someplace in those months, when some of the members of the committee wondered if Wells Lutherans really wanted to sing soldier hymns anymore, like Onward Christian Soldiers or Fight the Good Fight of Faith. Everybody's kind of forgotten about war. The Vietnam War was over by 15 years, and nobody talked about it much in those days. The Berlin Wall had come down in late 1989, and even the Cold War was kind of over. And nobody could have dreamed at that point what kind of wars we would be fighting in Iraq and in Afghanistan. So the question was kind of legitimate back then. Do Christians really want to sing soldier songs? Do they really want to sing war songs? I don't remember that the conversation lasted very long, and I'm not surprised that it didn't. Onward Christian Soldiers is in the book, and so is Fight the Good Fight, and it's in the new book too. I don't think that there was ever any doubt that there was. But it raises a question that I think we need to think about. And the question is, how do Christians react to the reality that we are involved in a war every single day? From the moment that that demonic angel first rebelled against the honor of God in heaven, until the moment that I'm standing in this pulpit and you're sitting in that pew, the devil has not ever stopped trying to attack the people of God. And from the moment that I'm standing in this pulpit and you're sitting in that pew until the last moment before Jesus comes again in glory, the devil will not stop trying to attack the people of God. We're soldiers, and we're in a war. And being a soldier is no fun. It's demeaning, and it's degrading, and it's dangerous. And being in a war is even worse. It takes steadfastness and strategy and sacrifice. Being at war is a reality that we have to face. And it's no fun. And a lot of Christians don't want to have to really talk about it. And they certainly don't want to have to sing about it. I don't know if Jesus ever sang soldier songs, although there are a couple of them in the Psalms. But I do know that Jesus knew exactly what the devil was trying to do. And so he never turned away. He never flinched. He never turned his back. We heard about that in the gospel for today when Jesus came face to face with a demon who was absolutely destroying the life of a little boy. And Jesus destroyed that demon and he threw him out. Elijah was in a similar battle. It was a battle against a wicked king and queen, against a passionate priesthood, against the waffling nation of Israel. But Elijah never flinched. He never turned away. In fact, Elijah laughed. Whether we realize it or not, and whether we like it or not, We are involved in the battle of our lives, the clash of the ages against that satanic spirit, the devil. Our battles are different from the ones that Jesus fought and different from the one that Elijah fought. The battles are different, but the war is the same. The war is scary and it's hard. And we need to come to grips with what it really is and remember this truth: to stand with the Lord Christ in the clash of the ages. Things were really going bad for the nation of Israel. They had seceded from David's great united kingdom, and they had lost interest in the true God and the temple in Jerusalem. A series of really rotten kings had led them farther and farther away from the true God, but the worst of all of those kings was a king by the name of Ahab. Ahab actually established the idol Baal as the official god of the nation of Israel, and he established his wife Jezebel as the official priestess of the idol Baal. And Jezebel and her body of passionate priests brought practices into their worship spaces that are so vulgar, I'm not even going to try to explain them in a group of nice people with some kids around. It was time for God to let fly. And so God sent a drought that affected the whole nation. And now the people of Israel were not only suffering spiritually, they were also suffering physically. It was time for a confrontation. The place was Mount Carmel. Ahab and Jezebel were there. The priests of Baal were there. The waffling nation of Israel was there. And Elijah was there alone. He set it out for what it was. How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. The people may have forgotten a lot about the Lord, but they knew what was at stake here. They remembered what Moses had told the people of Israel when they were ready to cross into the promised land. Moses had said to them, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. If you love the Lord your God and keep his commands, you will live. But if your heart turns away and you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you that you will certainly be destroyed." This was the turning point. The people knew what was at stake: the true God or the idol Baal. The true God or the demon Satan. I said before, the battles are different, but the war is the same. Do you get the feeling once in a while that we don't always take this battle too seriously? Don't worry too much about it. Oh, don't sweat it. Everything will turn out okay. So we let up a little bit at work, cheat on a test, bad mouth our mom, tell a dirty joke, text some really juicy gossip, skip Bible class, doze during the sermon, not get too concerned about what we put in our offering plates. The list could get longer, but I think you know the point that I'm getting at. The reality is that the attacks of the devil don't come at us in a full-blown nuclear attack. It's like getting hit by a BB gun. The BB gun can't maim you, it can't kill you, but you can certainly feel the sting of a BB gun pellet. The truth is that every clash with the devil is an effort on the part of Satan to destroy our relationship with God. We need to come to grips with what's at stake here. We need to understand that it's a matter of life and death. And so Elijah set up the battle. Two bolts, one for the priests of Baal and one for himself, both cut up in pieces and laid on altars. And then Elijah said, "You call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God." Okay, everything's set. You see the odds here, don't you? It's 450 priests of Baal and 400 priests of Asherah. And they are all passionate. They are ready to do anything and everything that they need to do. They shouted and they danced, and Elijah teased them, and he taunted them, and they did it even more. They slashed themselves with swords and spears until their blood flowed, and they continued their frantic screaming for hours. You get the feeling that Elijah was intimidated? I don't think so. He just laughed. But it's not always so easy to laugh, is it, when Satan attacks? Isn't easy for me, and I'm pretty sure it isn't easy for you either. Think of that boy in the gospel for today. That demon entered him and made his life miserable. He threw him on the ground. He threw him into a fire. He threw him into water. He made him go through terrible convulsions. I don't think that kid was laughing. And from what we read, his father certainly wasn't laughing. And so the pain you feel never stops. You feel it when you stand up and when you sit down. Never goes away. And that ache in your heart never stops aching, even though the source of that ache happened years ago. And it seems as though that devil tempts you with the same temptation again and again and again, and after a while, you just kind of wear down. And who are we, this little group of Lutherans, to take a stand for the scriptures and whenever everything the scripture stands for, when our nation and our churches and even our neighbors don't worry about the sins of abortion or gay marriage, or don't honor the deity of Christ? We're so few, and there's so many. Our voices aren't loud, and their voices are so strong. So much power here, so much power there, and so little power here. The clash is furious, and sometimes our strength seems to just fade away. This isn't funny. No humor here. This wants to make you cry. Sometimes it just wants to make you give up. An altar with 12 stones, one stone for each tribe of the great nation of Israel. A deep trench around an altar filled with 12 huge jugs of water, which ran down the sides of the altar and filled the trench. A bleeding bull, and then a prayer. "Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Elijah wasn't laughing now. He was dead serious. Was there a pause? Was there just a moment of silence? We don't know. But all at once, the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. The Baal god was still there, smelling just like a slaughtered bull smells after spending the time in a hot day. The priests of Baal were still there, hoarse and bleeding and humiliated and about to be dead. God's bull was gone. God annihilated that bull. He exterminated that bull. And Elijah was still there. But he wasn't alone. He was standing with the Lord. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." No water, no altar, no bull, no trench, just the voice of Jesus. "You deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed the boy violently, and came out. The Lord Jesus does not play games with Satan, not in the gospel for today. "Come out of him," not in the wilderness when Satan tried to tempt him. "Away from me, Satan," not when Peter tried to keep Jesus from going to suffering and death. "Get behind me, Satan," and not when he was on the cross, paying the penalty for every sin Satan ever tempted people to commit and every sin for which they deserved to die. The Father heard his voice, but Satan heard his voice. "It is finished." And not when he lay dead in a tomb. For he came alive and he says to us, "I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now look, I am alive forever and ever." In living and dying, Jesus fought against the devil in the clash of the ages, and he destroyed the works of the devil. Whether we need soldier hymns or not, I don't know. What I do know is that we are engaged in the battle of our lives, as soldiers fighting in the clash of the ages. We need to know what is at stake here. Just as Elijah told the people of Israel what was at stake, we need to understand that the battle is fierce and the warfare is long. Just as Elijah learned that on Mount Carmel. But Elijah did not stand alone. Standing next to Elijah was the Lord with his consuming fire. And we do not stand alone. We are standing next to the Lord Jesus with his consuming love. He forgives our sins every day, even the sins of weakness and the sins of doubt. He supplies weapons for us every day. Weapons like the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And he promises us and he assures us that he will gain the final victory over the devil when the end of time comes. The great church father Augustine said, "Christ will rule among his saints. This God has said, this God has promised." And if that is not enough, this God has also sworn. I don't know if we need to sing soldier hymns, but this I know. We need to stand with the Lord Jesus in the clash of the ages. Amen.